I'm on, wonderful. Good morning and happy Easter to you. Good morning and happy Easter to you. If you were a good Anglican, you would say at this point, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ shall come again. He has died, he is risen, that's a current phrase that he's going through, and he shall come again. Let's do that. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ shall come again. Again, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ shall come again. Now do it as if it actually means something, and this is an exciting truth which has revolutionized your life. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ shall come again. Oh, that's better. I have a dear friend called Philip, who is an Anglican. He used to say to his flock, after Easter, it's always Easter. And that's such an important truth. Because once Jesus died and rose again, though we celebrate each year what happened, he's always risen. And we're going to think about what that means this morning. I want to just read to you a very few verses from Mark chapter 16 about the resurrection. Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on the way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him." I just wanted to ask a question. It can be for the young ones and the older ones too. Do you ever fight with your brothers or sisters? Yeah? Yeah, you do? You fight? Any of the older ones? Yeah. Who's the oldest person who still fights with their brother or sister? Amanda certainly does. Yeah, she was kind of celebrating it, which is a bit of a worry. Well, my brother, who is 3.5 years older than me, and as we grew up, that gave him generally about 6 inches height difference for a significant portion of time. And what he used to do was he would tease me, bait me, he'd goad me until I got mad. Then I'd run up against him and he would hold his hand out onto my head and I would flail like this. And I could never quite reach him. And sometimes he could get me to do that for up to 10 minutes before I crumpled to the floor crying in an exhausted heap. And that was just last year. And the thing is, maybe that, you know, with kids you fight and you get frustrated and you get angry. Some of those feelings don't go away. They may not be so physical, but when we get goaded or feel powerless or frustrated or discouraged in the battle, whether it's relationships or circumstances or unhelpful patterns of behavior in our lives, and we feel like we can't do anything to improve the situation, we get more tired, we get more helpless day by day, sometimes we feel like giving up. What's the point of carrying on? It's not going to make any difference anyway. And I want you to think for a moment of the story we just heard. We got three ladies, Mary, and Salome, how they must have felt on that Easter morning. They'd served Jesus for years. They'd invested hope in him. They'd seen him arrested. They'd seen the mockery of a trial. They'd seen the terrors of a crucifixion. All the time they were hoping for a miracle. And then he died and he was laid in a tomb. And now they will be desperately sad and grieving. The sense of it all being over. And they've got one last act of love. They want to prepare the body and do something as a real act of worship. Imagine if you're exhausted with grief and you feel like the situation's hopeless, and you're getting to the tomb, and then you think you've got to roll a large stone away. It doesn't get much worse than that, does it? They would have been thinking as they went towards the tomb about the stone, about the guards. What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? We've been through so much. they would have felt like packing in. It was one thing too many, three weary, weakened women against the military, against physical demands. But when they looked, things weren't as they seemed at all. There were no guards. There was no stone. This was the first Easter morning. Jesus was alive. After Easter, always Easter. What they were powerless to do, God had done by his mighty power. And the thing they worried about had been done already. And the first thing I want to talk about this morning is the message of Easter to those who feel powerless. That obstacle, the stone, is a symbol of all the other obstacles that can separate us from God and the way that Jesus' death and resurrection removed them. For some of you this morning, you may be feeling you're not good enough. You're not good enough. I can't become a Christian, or I can't live as a Christian. I'm not good enough. Well, that's true. But Jesus paid the penalty. He died in our place. He defeated sin and death for us on our behalf. If we come to him and confess our sin and repent of it, if we come to him, we are forgiven. We don't come to God because of our goodness, but because of Jesus. We've been declared not guilty through faith in Jesus. The stone has been moved. You won't find that in any other world religion. Did you know that? If you take a look at Hinduism or Buddhism, you'll find that there's no forgiveness. You must pay your debts. You could try Islam and you'll discover that God loves those who make themselves pure. So there's no hope there. What's more, he's utterly inscrutable. You can't know how he'll act. He punishes whom he pleases. He grants mercy to whom he pleases. So there's cold comfort there. But in Jesus, there is a sure, unrestricted offer of forgiveness. Don't feel good enough? That stone's been moved. It's Easter. Can't live as a Christian. Constant sin, failure. Well, that's true for all of us, but we're not left alone. As Jesus went to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to live in all who trust in him. God in us. You find it difficult to pray? Find it difficult to love? Find it difficult to overcome? Say, I can't do those things. Well, maybe you can't, but Jesus can. He can. The stone has been moved. We're given power beyond our own to live as Christians. Power to become more like Jesus. Power to overcome difficulties. No assurance. I mean, how can I be sure I'm going to get to heaven anyway? I blow it regularly on a weekly basis. I look at other people and they're so much better Christians than me. I know they are because they look better. That feeling of doubt maybe dogs our lives and takes away our joy. It makes us wonder if it's worth all the hassle. But it doesn't depend on us. It depends on Jesus. And Jesus keeps his promises. Did you know that? He said he would die, and he did. He said he'd rise again, and he did. That gives me a lot of hope that when he says he's going to come back, he will. Jesus keeps his promises. If we take our eyes off our own difficulties for a moment and look up, he had a bunch of ladies walking along like this. How are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? They looked up. It had been done. It had been done already. The stone's been moved. The obstacles that stand in the way of our relationship with God have been removed because of Jesus. The weakness and the sin that dogs our lives has been moved and is moving by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. The reality of heaven is greater than even the here and now. If you're struggling with something this morning, if you're downhearted, if you're discouraged, I want to ask you, is this a stone that only God can move? Because if it is, it's time to let him move it. If you need to come and say sorry to God, if you need to come and ask help, if it's a stone that only God can move, let him move it. Perhaps it's a stone that's been moved already. You're feeling guilty, but you've been forgiven. You're feeling not worth much, but God tells you you're his precious child. You're feeling like you're never going to make it to heaven, but Jesus has promised. It's been moved already. Look up again. Take your eyes off yourself. Put them on Jesus. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ shall come again. Repeat after me, please. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ shall come again. After Easter? It's always Easter. I'm done now. There's more to come because I'm just starting to get excited. So, just as you're getting warmed up again, I remind you that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ shall come again. Do you agree with that? You do, good. We're going to look at the second bit. The first was the message of Easter to those who feel powerless, where to look for strength. The second is the message of Easter to those who feel confused, where to turn to for direction. Australia and the UK are very different. Here, if you're a little way in the outback, it might be something like choose your rut carefully because you'll be in it for the next 100 kilometres. Whereas in Britain, it's lots of little roads and side roads. And I used to travel all over the country doing missions. And always the ministers would tell you how to get to the place you were going to. And it would go something like this. You need to go straight on until you get to the Dog and Trumpet. Then you take the first left and you carry on until you come to the Ferret and Firkin. Now, we have strange pub names, yeah. Dog and Trumpet, Ferret and Firkin, Weasel and Stoat, that kind of thing. And these ministers, who are all teetotal, all of their directions were done by pub names. And very often we would get completely lost having followed the directions absolutely. We get back and we say we couldn't find Driffield or wherever it was anywhere. And they'd say, oh, you should have been looking for Little Driffield. Because in Britain you have Little Driffield, Lower Driffield, Upper Driffield, Greater Driffield, Lesser Driffield. We have we have strange ways of doing things in Britain. The directions were right. You're looking for the right landmarks. You're just looking in places that you'll never find them. And that's a little bit frustrating. Which is why I've got satellite navigation or GPS over in Australia. Now, those group of women who had seen Jesus crucified, they didn't really understand fully the prophecies concerning the resurrection, the fact that he had power over death itself. And so they were looking for Jesus, but they were looking for him in the wrong place. He's not there. He's risen. It's a total waste of time looking for Jesus in the grave because you won't find him there. Why look for life where death is? And the angel just gave that gentle rebuke. It's not here. Go look somewhere else. He's risen. Before I came over here, when I first had my very first filing cabinet, I was thrilled with the idea of being able to categorize things. And because I wrote a lot of songs at that time, I filed them. Some of them were under S for songs. Some of them were under M for music. And there was a third category that was W for written material. I was very thorough in my filing. And funnily enough, I could never find any of them. It didn't matter how earnestly I looked under M for my songs. If they were in W, I was never going to find them. It was rather difficult for me to find anything I ever wanted with those unclear directions, and you'll be pleased to know I've changed it now. I'm not going to tell you what to, because you'll probably criticize that as well. Everyone is looking for fulfillment and meaning and purpose in life. Different people all looking under different sections in the filing cabinet. Different people give their labels of where we should look. And some of the people who are telling us where to look are just as confused. I wasn't very well one morning, so I thought I'd have a look at what Australian TV was like in the morning, those morning shows. It nearly gave me a relapse. You've got people who I think may possibly be brain dead giving advice on life. Life relationships, how to do them, and they're clearly completely dysfunctional people. What is important in life? I look at them and I think, what on earth is going on? If people are tuning in and listening to this, this country is going to be in serious trouble. It could be job, lifestyle, relationships. Sometimes, in all seriousness, some of the advice they give is quite decent about giving up part of the picture. For some, they even try to talk about a spiritual dimension, and then you take your pick from the supermarket of faith. Perhaps you've been brought here today by a spiritual search. And the things of life, lifestyle, career, relationships, whatever it may be, they all help make up the picture. They're all things that can help bring a comfortable, maybe a secure feeling, reasonable contentment in life. But without meeting the risen Jesus, you'll never find real meaning and purpose. You're looking in the wrong place. You're looking for the living among the dead. What do I mean by dead? Because the vital core element of our humanity is spiritual, we're designed to be in a relationship with God as his children. Only that will ultimately satisfy. Only that has got eternal consequences. Things won't last forever. We can't take them with us. Jobs are uncertain. And we want to work to live, not to live to work. Even the best relationships can fail us, can't they? Even the best. For many reasons. And at the end of this short life, there's the reality of eternity. Yet our thoughts about our eternal destiny are so easily blotted out by the here and now. Good things, important things even, keep us from vital things. We're looking for the right things in the wrong places. We're looking for things that have no spiritual life and no eternal value, and trying to get eternal value from them. We're looking for the living among the dead. I want to say this morning, just to remind you of things you know already. A relationship with God only comes through Jesus. Eternal life only comes through Jesus. Quality of life, peace, joy, true fulfillment only come from Jesus. And that's the message of Easter. Only Jesus can go and prepare a place in heaven for those who put their faith and trust in him. And the resurrection is the pointer to the most immense power, even over death. Death is no longer the end. And I love the fact, I've thought about it many times, that when Jesus went to see his friend Lazarus, who was dead, and shouted into the tomb, "Lazarus, come out," that if he hadn't said Lazarus, the whole grave would have emptied. That's why he had to be specific. Jesus has such power over death. Easter. If you're looking for true purpose in life, or maybe you've lost your way a little in this area of life, you love Jesus, but you've got weighed down by stuff. Maybe you get confused directions from others about where to turn. True life, spiritual life, eternal life, only one place to look, Jesus. Doesn't matter how sincere you're seeking, doesn't matter how earnestly you're seeking, you've got to look in the right place too. And maybe as a Christian, you've been confused about the next step and you've been getting advice, and some of that advice hasn't been pointing you back towards real faith, and it's time to realign again. It's no good looking for life among things that have no life. Don't look for the living among the dead. This Easter, refocus. Be determined to look in the right place for the right stuff. Because after Easter, it's always Easter. And we want to be living Easter lives. Not Good Friday lives, Easter lives. This is the last talky bit, and it's a little bit longer than the other talky bits, but only a little bit. I wonder, we become so familiar with the Christmas story and the Easter story that actually you sometimes forget what was going on. Now, we know that the women went to the tomb. We know that they saw the angel. We know that the angel said, "Jesus isn't here. He's risen. Go and tell the disciples." And that all fits tidily into the story. But do you know what the women did next? They've seen the angels. The stone has been moved away. The angels have said, "Jesus isn't here. He's risen. Go and tell the disciples." If you look at John chapter 20, and you can you don't need to look it up. I'll tell you what it says. Chapter 20 and verse 2. They've been to the tomb. That's all happened. Mary Magdalene comes running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've put him." So it went well, didn't it? So even when Jesus has been saying, I'm going to rise from the dead, even when they've seen an angel who said Jesus has risen from the dead and the stone's been moved away and Jesus isn't there, they say they have taken Jesus and we don't know where they've put him. So do you think they really believe that Jesus is now alive? No. It's a comfort to know, isn't it, that sometimes they could be just as dense as we can. Because how many times does God have to tell us things before we get it? And we go on. In verse 10, after Peter and John have been and seen the tomb and believed, Mary, having seen the angels, known that Jesus is gone, seen the disciples believing, she's now in the garden. In verse 11, it says, she stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. She saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, and they said, why are you crying? More angels. And she says to them, they've taken my Lord away. They again. Is that the angels? Is that the soldiers? Don't know. And I don't know where they've put him. So at least she's consistent in her story. At this, she turned around. She saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize it was Jesus. Woman, he said, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Now, bear in mind, she spent 3 years with Jesus and he's now with her, and she thinks he's the gardener. Thinking it's the gardener, she said, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him. And Jesus said to her, just this, Mary. And she turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. There's the moment. There's the moment. She actually heard her name spoken, and spoken in the voice that actually cut through all of her fear and all of her confusion. The message of Easter to those who feel alone is about where to turn to for comfort. One man once wrote that in a strange place, when you're uncertain of yourself, even casual acquaintances are greeted as close friends. Ever been in that situation? Someone that you might just kind of wave at in church if you're maybe at a conference somewhere and they're the only people that you know. They're like your best mate. We're all troubled by loneliness at times. If you're not alone, the place feels less strange and circumstances seem more manageable. Probably no one more so than Mary on that Easter morning. She'd lost the one who pointed her back to God, her master, her teacher, her Lord. She'd lost the one who made her realize that she was loved and had worth. She couldn't even grieve with a few silent moments at the tomb because the body was gone. And then that remarkable thing happens. She weeps, she sees Jesus, and she doesn't even recognize him. The most important person in her life, but she's blinded by grief. She doesn't expect to see Jesus, so she doesn't see Jesus. And then he speaks to her and she looks at him properly and she's shaken out of her inward looking despair and she becomes full of joy and hope. Maybe this morning you feel alone. You're single. You're widowed. You're divorced. You're a golf widow. You're a Christian widow. Do you know what I mean by that? Maybe you're isolated by your circumstances, by suffering, by pressure. You can't believe that God has left you in your despair and heartache and bitterness. And you're so focused on that that you can't see beyond the aloneness. You can't hear other voices of comfort. You can't accept the offerings of those who reach out to you. And today, God speaks to you through Jesus. And he calls you by name. Beck, Mel, Paul, Ben, Liz. Look up. You're not alone. Just because you don't see me, just because you don't hear me, doesn't mean I'm not here. You're kind of not expecting to see me in these circumstances, and so you don't see me, but I'm here all along. You've become blinded by grief. You don't recognize my voice. You don't recognize my presence. But look up, because I'm calling your name this morning. I'm calling you to acknowledge that even in these dark places, that I'm your Savior. I'm your Master. I'm your Lord. I'm calling you to reach out and trust me again, so you don't ever have to feel alone. And that's the message of Easter to those who feel alone, that God calls out our name this morning. One of the Holy Spirit's names who lives in us is the Comforter. We're never alone. He's with us always. He promises that he will never leave us or forsake us. And perhaps you need to look up or turn around and wipe away the tears and see that the Jesus that you've been looking for and don't think is in this place is with you. Now that's hit someone's heart this morning. And you know that that's you, so just receive it. Feeling powerless? Look up to see that the stone's been moved already. Jesus has removed all the obstacles to our relationships with God and our ongoing walk with him to eternity. Feeling confused? Look up and see that Jesus is risen. Look for life among the living, where there is spiritual life. Turn away from seeking direction from things that have no life. Feeling alone? Look up and see that Jesus was there all along. Listen for his voice beyond your personal struggles. The message of Easter is the message of the most immense hope. But we need to enter into it. For us, there need be no more Good Fridays, because it's always Easter. It's always Easter until we get to heaven. But we need to enter into it. And for some of us, that means recommitting our lives where we've been miles away. For some of us, it might mean just talking some stuff through. For some of us, we might need to pray with someone. For some of us, we might never have given our lives to Jesus, and we need to do that. And Christ has died. Christ is risen, and Christ shall come again. After Easter, it's always Easter, but we need to live Easter lives. There was one story that Tony Campolo tells, where he's in the black churches, they have kind of preaching competitions. You may have, one of my dear mates who played drums in our band, he came from a black Pentecostal church. And if you were going well, the ladies would take their handkerchief out and they would go, "Well." That was good. If it was going badly, they'd go, "Help him, Jesus." So if they said, "Help him, Jesus," you were pretty bad. And they used to have kind of preach-offs. And Campolo preached, and he preached well. And he sat down, and the guy next to him just goes, "You ain't seen nothing yet." And he starts to preach. And he talks about dark times. He talks about dark times. And he goes, "It's Friday. And some of you know it. But Sunday's coming. But Sunday's coming." And by the end of it, all he has to say is, "It's Friday." And they're all on their feet, shouting out, "But Sunday's coming." Sunday's here. It's always Easter. It's always Easter. So I finished by saying, stop living Friday lives when it's Easter. And if you know you need to do something about that and you want to pray and talk afterwards, then head for the mat. The mat's where we do business with God. Otherwise, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to finish with one final "Christ has died." We're going to get you to stand to do it, so let's do that. And you're going to enter into it as if you were living Easter lives. Which some of you may be on the quiet. Just because Australians are laid back doesn't mean that you should lack a physical dynamic in your lives. And there's going to be one more song. You'll be pleased to know. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you that though there was Friday and there needed to be Friday, that Sunday has come. And that after Easter, it's always Easter. We want to thank you that the stone has been moved away. We want to thank you that there's nothing that stands in between us and you. There's nothing that stands in between us and heaven that you don't have the power to deal with. We want to thank you that you have shown us the way and that you'll lead us there. We want to thank you that we are never alone. Lord, forgive us when we are so slow on the uptake. Forgive us when we don't believe what you've told us and we don't live what you've told us. And we pray this morning that you'd help us to enter into Easter. And that our lives will always be Easter from this day forward. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Because Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ shall come again. Shout it, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ shall come again. Hallelujah. Oh, you were almost excited then, that's wonderful. Let's sing.
Hope is stirring, We're done. Many thanks to Marty and Andrea for all their hard work and what I call the Bee Gees and ZZ Top, which is the new band we have here. I bet you can't guess who's who, can you? So, happy Easter. Good morning. God bless you. See you next week.